Yaakov, Be'eres Mikure Aviv, Be'eres Kenan. So Yaakov Abinu settles. Vayeshev means he settles. Targum Unkelus Vitev. Vitev meaning Vayeshev, he sat, he settled. Right. Where did he settle? Be'eres Mikure Aviv, back to his father's house. You have to keep in mind, he was away from his father for 34 years. 20 years in Lavan's house and 14 years in Shem Va'eved, and then another 2 years on the way back. So 36 years he was away from his father's house. So finally, Be'eres Megur Aviv, Be'eres Kena'an, he comes back to Eres Kena'an, because for those years he was living in Chutz La'aretz. So now he's able to come back to his father's house. So the famous Rashi over here comes along and says, "Vayeshev Yaakov, Mikesh Yaakov Lishev B'Shalva." Yaakov wanted to sit in peace, you know, sit and relax a little. Miyad Tokfo Alav Rugzo Shel Yosef. Immediately, the Rugzo, the anger against Yosef, was aroused. And there goes Yaakov's tranquility. That's always the way we learned it. Yaakov, Bikesh Yaakov Lishev. Bikesh Yaakov. Okay, we don't need this. Bikesh Yaakov Lishev Veshalva. But God said, I'm not going to let you sit Veshalva. Even though Yaakov Abinu, you'd say, deserves a vacation. You know, the rabbi might not deserve a vacation, but Yaakov Abinu deserves a vacation. Why? All the things that he went through. The Gemara says he went through the episode of Dinah in last week's parasha. I had a daughter that was abducted and abused. He went through the story of Esav, his brother. Esav, of course, caused him to run away, to become a fugitive from his father's house. He went through the episode of his father-in-law, which is Lavan, Lavan Arami, and all that, you know, situation for 20 years. And now he has the episode of Yosef. So even before the story of Yosef, you say that Yaakov Abinu has a right to be Vayeshev. You know, he went around the block and back a few times. The Darshanim say that if you take the word Vayeshev, Vayeshev, which means he wanted to relax. There's a remez why he wanted to relax. Because if you take the first word of Vayeshev, it's a vav. That vav is also the second letter of the word Yosef. It's a vav. The yud of Vayeshev is the second letter of Dinah. The sheen of Vayeshev is the second letter of Esav. And the Vav and the Bet of Vayeshev is the second letter of Lavan. So therefore there's a remez, why he wants to be Vayeshev? Look at the word Vayeshev. Look what I went through. I want to relax. Bikesh Yaakov Lishev B'Shalva. God says, no Shalva. Look, Zoshel Yosef. So we ask the question, why not? Why can't you let Yaakov have a break? So one time I saw an explanation like this.
Not like he's going to Turnberry.
Exactly. Not going to Turnberry. He's not going to Florida. He wants to sit and learn yeshiva. You know, what's the Shabbat Yaakov Abinu? So explanation they say is, I heard this many years ago. Yaakov Abinu wants peace with it from his brother. That's the main piece he's looking for. The Shabbat. I mean, 36 years he's on the run from this guy, Esav. So finally, Yaakov says, enough of the guy. I want to finish with the guy. Let it be behind me. Now, you would think, wait a minute, it was finished already. I mean, last week's parasha, we finished with the guy. We had a confrontation with him. Yaakov Abinu makes a deal with him. You go your way, I'll go my way, and everybody lives happily ever after. But it seems it wasn't over yet. He didn't get yet the shalva that he was looking for. What's the pshat? There's a famous midrash. The midrash says that the brothers the brothers go to. The Gemara says that when Yosef was born, then Yaakov Avinu tells Rachel and his wives, we can get out of here. Why does Yosef have to be born? Because we have a tradition that Esav will fall into the hands of Yosef. And we read it in last week's Haftarah. The Pasuk says, V'haya bet Yaakov le'esh, ul'bet Yosef le'hava, ul'bet Esav le'kash. That Bet Yaakov is the fire, the flame is Yosef, and Esav is compared to kash, which is straw. And what burns the straw? The lehava. So Yaakov says, now Yosef is born, we're okay. Now, why is Yosef the one that's able to bring down Esav? Why him? So there's a famous midrash that says that the brothers, Shevatim, went to their uncle Esav, and they told Esav, why did you do that to your brother Yaakov? That you chased him out of the house, you caused him all this trouble for so much. What did you do this to our father for? The Shevatim went to Esav. So Esav comes along and says, when you answer me why you did that to your brother, I'll answer to you why I did that to my brother. You're going to preach to me? Who are you to preach to me? Go adorn yourself first, then adorn others, brother. You have no right to tell me how I treated my brother Yaakov when you did the same. And then Yosef goes to his uncle and says, what are you going to tell me? You can't answer to me what you answered there, because I didn't sell my brother. I was the one that was sold. And not only that, but after they sold me and did everything, I forgave them. So now what are you going to say? So therefore, Esav falls into the hands of Yosef, because Esav can arouse, Sinat Chinam, look what you guys did. But he can't answer Yosef. And therefore, Yosef is the Lehava that's able to break the claim. At this point, when we start Parashat Vayeshev, the sale of Yosef didn't happen yet. That episode didn't happen yet. Yosef doesn't have a claim yet, because the story didn't happen. So the rabbis learn like this. Bikesh Yaakov lishev b'shalva. Yaakov wants to sit in peace, that he'll be able to ultimately destroy Esav. That's the shalva he was looking for. Shalva, that he could finish with this guy Esav once and for all in the future. So Borei Olam says, you want to sit b'shalva? Okay, if you want that, I'll give it to you. Miyad tukfu alav, ruzo shel Yosef. I got to make the story now. If you want to sit b'shalva from Esav, then the story has to happen. The story has to happen for you to sit b'shalva, because otherwise Yosef doesn't have a claim. So therefore, you got what you got. What you want. God didn't punish him. It's not the shot you say. Vacation commission. So God, you can't rest. No vacation for you. Suffer. God says, you want to be b'shalva? You get the answer. Sit b'shalva. Took four other exhaustion. You sit, and now you'll sit b'shalva as a result of that. That's the result of it. But we said, yesterday they had asked me to say some Devrei Torah in memory of one of the members that used to come to this class, Mr. Nassim Abadi, Alav Shalom. Nassim Ben Esther. He used to sit right there in the back row, right by Leah, sitting on his neshamana. So now, what happened, they asked me to say some Devrei Torah, so I said this in honor of Simo yesterday. Yeshuv Yaakov ve'eris megure aviv ve'eris kenah. In last week's parasha, we read that Yaakov Abinu was afraid of Esav. Vayira Yaakov me'od vayetzer lo. And all the Mefarshim say, Yaakov is scared of Esav. Who is Esav? Esav is Rasha Merusha. Yaakov Abinu is Gibor Hayil. He was able to take the rock off the well, like somebody opens up a bottle cap. And all of a sudden you're afraid of yourself. This is the same Yaakov that was able to wrestle an angel. And he had him in a stranglehold until he cried uncle. And now you're worried about Esav. He's afraid of Esav. So the Gemara says he wasn't afraid of Esav's strength. Just do me a favor. He's afraid of the zichuyot that Esav had. Esav had two zichuyot that Yaakov did not have. For the last 36 years, he was serving his father. So Yaakov's afraid of zichuyot. That's something to be afraid of. That's kibud avayim. More so, Esav for those 36 years was living in Israel, where Yaakov was living in Chutz La'aretz. So between the zichut of kibud avayim and the zichut of Eretz Yisrael, he was concerned. So here the pasuk comes along and says, finally Yaakov Avinu could live b'shalva. Vayeshev Yaakov be'eres migure aviv. He went back to the place where his father lived, the kibud avayim, be'eres kena'an. The pasuk goes out of its way to tell us the two zichuyot that Yaakov was looking for. He says, now that I have these two items, now I have shalva. My concern was because I was missing these two zichuyot. Vayeshev Yaakov. What gives Yaakov vayeshev? Be'eres migure aviv? Be'eres kena'an. Otherwise, ask yourself a question. Eres migure aviv is eres kena'an. We have to repeat it. Just say, either he went to migure aviv. No, it's two different inyanim. Eres migure aviv mitzad kibud avayim. That's why he calls it migure aviv. Eres kena'an is midin yishuv eres Yisrael. So he's protected. So the Mefarshim say something amazing. They come along and they say that were all those zichuyot of kibud avayim and yishuv eretz Yisrael, which is a great zichut, that did not guarantee the shalva of Yaakov Avinu. Why? Miyad tokfo alav rogzo shel Yosef. Once the brothers committed the crime of Sinat Chinam, so no zechut could protect you from that. Not kibud avayim and not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. These things only work when there's peace in the family. But once already you're going to have a mahlok in the family, you cannot start saying, oh, migure aviv, Eretz Kanaan. You say, mikesh akum the shabbat shabbat. If there's going to be tokfo or rogzo shel Yosef, so then that shalva, no matter what merit you're going to do to try to ensure shalva, if there's mahloket, the mahloket will ruin it. And the remez, of course, is that if you remember in Parashat Bechukotai, when it says, Vishavtem labetach be'artzechem, God says, and you will sit in the Holy Land, labetach, Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But then the next pasuk says, v'natati shalom ba'aretz. The only way you can guarantee labetach be'artzechem is v'natati shalom ba'aretz. That means all these things that we do are all dependent on shalom. If there's no shalom, then all the other zichuyot are not able to stand for us. So v'kesh Yaakov lishel b'shleshem b'shalva, because of kibud avayim and Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But those were not able to protect him and save him, mirugzo shel Yosef. Once that happened, those zichuyot cannot give him the solace that he was looking for. Now that being said, Moshe Rabbeinu goes down to Egypt. He goes down to Egypt, so he's wondering, why is God doing this to such a good people? Why is God making this Jewish people suffer so much that the human beings are turning into bricks and the cement is half water, half blood? Why would God do this to the Jewish people? Moshe Rabbeinu had a question. And then all of a sudden he sees that they're squealing on each other, and they're going to the government, and they're involved in all this type of behavior. Ben Adam l'chavero. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Achen nodah davar. Now I know why this is happening. If there's no achdut amongst Klal Yisrael, and there's no shalom amongst them, so therefore, to Moshe Rabbeinu becomes very clear. Now listen to the pasuk. This is my diyuk I'm making. What does the pasuk say that Moshe Rabbeinu did? The pasuk says, well, we could see it in the text. So the pasuk says he went away. Where did he go to? What does the pasuk say? Vayivrach Moshe mipnei Paro, vayeshiv be'eretz Midyan. Vayeshiv. You think it's a coincidence that the beginning of the parasha of the brothers fighting starts with which word? Vayeshiv. And the pasuk says that when he ran to Midyan, what did he do in Midyan? Vayeshiv. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gets to Midyan, he says, Klal Yisrael has not yet fixed the avon of Vayeshiv. They're still fighting with each other. The avon that started with the brothers fighting with Yosef, they're still fighting. Vayeshiv, Moshe ben Midyan. He says, the story of Vayeshiv is still outstanding. That story of Vayeshiv is still haunting us. In Klal Yisrael in Egypt, two brothers fighting with each other. And that's why we said once in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. Haggadah Shel Pesach, it says the following. V'she'amda l'avotenu velanu shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu lechalotenu ela b'chol dor v'dor. עומדים עלינו לחלותינו. והקדוש ברוך הוא מצילנו מידם. We explained it like this. שלא אחד בלבד means that not one enemy came against us. שלא אחד בלבד עמד עלינו. אלא בכל דור ודור. In every single generation. We explained it like this. But the comma is in a different spot. Shelo echad bilvat is going on not the enemies. Shelo echad bilvat is going on us. When Klal Yisrael was lo echad bilvat, Klal Yisrael was not one. Shelo echad bilvat, omdim alenu lechalotenu. Then already they can be. It's giving you the reason why they were able to attack us. Shelo echad bilvad. If Klal Yisrael was not echad, if there was pirud, if there was fighting amongst Klal Yisrael, shelo echad bilvad, if we were not just one, then omdim alenu lechalotenu. Then they had the power. And that's what you see over here. Now I'll tell you what a great Rabbi Dessler said. It's a big chiddush of Rabbi Dessler, Mechtam Eliyahu. Mechtam Eliyahu writes that when the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, the sins that destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash were the three cardinal sins, Gilui Arayot, Shefichut Damim, and Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Dessler writes that in order to make teshuvah, you need to be put in the same situation and overcome it. That's called teshuvat ha-mishkan. What is it considered about teshuvah? Where he's faced with the same nisayon, the same test, and he's able to withstand it. So Rabbi Dessler has proofs. I'm not giving you his proofs, but he says that the first three galuyot, galut Bavel, galut Paras u'Madai, and galut Yavan, the main sins of each one of these galuyot, one of them was Avodah Zarah, One of them was Shefichut Tamim, and one of them was Gilui Arayot. That was the sins that these Goyim primarily had. And therefore, when we were put into that exile, we were under the influence of people that had that sin. So the three Galuyot was to atone that we shouldn't get influenced from the Goyim that have that Midah. God put us in societies that these things were very, very rampant. In order for us to control our influence from them, so we can make the tikkun of the three cardinal sins. But then he says the brilliant hadush. So that was the first three galiot. He says we fixed the three sins that destroyed the first Beit HaMikdash. He says, but the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed because of sinat hinam. So therefore, we have to make the tikkun of sin'ah now. So how do we make the tikkun of sin'ah? God puts us in a galut that's called galut Esav. And what's the midav Esav? Esav sone Yaakov. That's the midah. He puts us in a society where it's filled with anti-Semitism and hatred. And that's the... When you see the weakness of the galut that you're in, from there you know what you have to work on. Rabbi Destel's words, I'm quoting now. Everybody knows, Halakha Esav Sonei Yaakov. But they don't know why. It's because Halakha Yaakov Sonei Et Yaakov. Because Yaakov is Sonei Yaakov, that's why the halakha came, Esav Sonei Yaakov. Esav Sonei Yaakov is to hint to you what you're coming to fix. Their weakness is our weakness. So when you come up with, all that anti-Semitism. Forget about anti-Semitism. You hate Jews. What about the hatred that you have? Once you fix Yaakov Sonei Yaakov, then automatically that sin'ah of Esav goes away. So he says, and that's the tikkun of the final generation. The tikkun of the final generation is to fix Rogzo Shel Yosef. Rogzo Shel Yosef is the last tragedy of Yaakov Avinu. This is the last thing he goes through. The first thing he went through, of course, we said was Esav, he had Lavan, he had Dinah, and then Yosef. And the rabbis say that represents the exiles. Each one of these four episodes of Yaakov's life represents an exile. And therefore, the last episode was Rogzo Shel Yosef, which represents the Sinat Hinam of the brothers, which will haunt Klal Yisrael in the last exile. And that's the longest of his troubles. This would be a trouble that would be the most difficult for Yaakov. Like he said, Kiyirid el bini avel she'ola. This will take me to the grave. He understood that this was his biggest nisayon. That's why a great rabbi called Ben Ish Chai says something incredible. The Ben Ish Chai says, that the first night of Pesach, what is that? Now Pesach, what are we now? What's today?
Hanukkah.
Pesach's right, make your reservations. That's what I'm going to tell the people. Pesach's right around the corner.
Yeah,
book up. 100%. Tickets are selling out. That's right. Get your kosher for Pesach over sunscreen. So now, Pesach, massage your maror. So now you have like this. The Hachamim say that always the first night of Pesach is the night of Tisha B'Av. This year Pesach is a Friday night again. Like last year, it's the same thing. Friday night is the first night of Pesach. And Tisha B'Av will be on a Friday night as well. Of course, we don't fast on Friday. We push it to Sunday, but Friday night Tisha B'Av. The name is At, Aleph Taf. Aleph of Pesach is Taf, it's Tisha B'Av. At Bash, Aleph Taf. Aleph Pesach, and every night of Pesach is a different holiday. So the Ben Ish Chai says, you couldn't pick a worse Shatnez connection? First night of Pesach, Jabba'ab, what's the... Pesach is the happiest night of the year, and Jabba'ab the worst night. As if there's a connection between the two of them. So the Ben Ish Chai says, when you sit on Pesach, what's the theme of Pesach? You talk about not only Yitziat Mitzrayim, but the first half of the Seder, you talk about Galut Mitzrayim. And inevitably, during the Seder, you're going to remind all the people that are there what got us into Galut Mitzrayim. It's going to come up. And Parashat Vayeshev is going to be the discussion. And your father's going to tell the kid, listen, it all started when brothers couldn't get along with each other, and they were jealous of, you know, a few extra pieces of, you know, a cuff that he got on his ketonet pasim, a couple of shnei sila'im milat, which is, you know, a small amount of, garment, of fabric. And that jealousy created havoc, and Yosef was sent down to Egypt, and the brothers had to go down, and then, you know, it all started from that. So on Leil Pesach, you're reminded of that. So the Ben Ish Chai says, not only are you reminded of it, but we actually have a ritual on Leil Seder to remind the congregation of it. He says, the Gemara writes that all the brothers had ketonet pasims, by the way. They all had ketonet pasims. Yosef's had a little extra fabric that, you know, went from his wrist to cover the pasyad is the palm. The Gemara says it was shnei sila'im milat. It was just a few extra dollars of milat of, and kar means fabric, and pas is the pasyad that covers the fabric. Their shirts went up to here. This is one, you know, a little extra. Oh, they went there. So the Ben Ish Chai says, on Leil Pesach, that's why you eat karpas. Karpas represents the kar of the pas. Wow. Now, you can't dip that ketone pasim in blood. So we remiz it, we dip it in the salt water. When you're dipping the karpas in the salt water, he says you're reenacting the dipping of the ketone pasim. Ben Ish Chai. What's the difference? Now, and if I said the Rav Shlomo Zalman Oyebach, it's not wow. What's the difference? Who said it? The point is, the point. Hazak Baruch says the wow because of the wow. Now that dipping over there is basically telling the whole congregation, Abotai, this is why we went into Galut. Right here, the kar pass into the salt water. The salt water represents, of course, the crying of Yaakov Avinu as a result of this, and the crying of Klal Yisrael. The salt was the tears. What's the? When he saw that it would happen to his son, he cried for 22 years. He cried. What does that mean?
He said, "Crime or cry?"
Cry. Salt water crying. The salt is the tears. Now, just so our members should know, if you go to Pomegranate, they already have pre-made salt water. So for the ladies, it's difficult for them to make the salt water. So you can get pre-made salt water, they sell. So when I went to Palmer, I told them, but I don't understand. I want the celery in it already. You mean I have to put the celery in? It's a good idea, sir. Okay, next year we're going to sell it. So all you can do is they got to take the celery out. What do they think we are here? We have to now take the celery and dip it in over there. It's Pesach. We're having a vacation. Okay, so then this is a different Hadush Ashkenazim. But the point is, the point is, no, the point is that that's the Hadush of the Ketoret Pasim. Elliot, listen to the Hadush. That's the Hadush of the Ketoret Pasim. So the Ben Ish Chai goes on to say, learn the lesson of Leil Pesach, and you won't have to make Tisha B'Av in the summer. But if you don't learn the lesson of the ketonet pasim, then you're going to have to sit on Friday night, 6 months from now, Tisha B'Av and fast. So there's a connection. This brought that. And if you don't learn the lesson of this, then you're going to have to endure that. That's the connection between the two nights. So then came a great rabbi called Gaon Mevilna. The Gaon Mevilna gave a novel interpretation to the Hadgadiyah. Hadgadiyah, we say at the end of the Haggadah Shel Pesach. And obviously, this is not Stam a song. Obviously, we're saying the story of the Hadgadiyah. You know, people don't know what it represents, but we know that if we're singing it and it made it to the Haggadah Shel Pesach, you know, it's a deep kavanah, this song over there. And the famous story of Rav Chida, that one time somebody was mezelzel with the Hadgadiyah and he put him in Hedin. You know, mezelzel with the Hadgadiyah is not let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Hadgadiyah is, you know, it's kavanot over here. It's not Stam, you know, Bing Crosby singing some jingle that he made up to make money in Hollywood. This is kavanot of the tzaddikim. So the Gaon Mevilna says, what is the kavanah? So he said like this. He said, many people think that Hadgadiyah, who's the Hadgadiyah, who's the kid? They say that it's Yosef. The Zabin Abba, Betre Zuzeh, that they sold him, Betre Zuzeh, the brother sold him. That's one mahalach of learning the Hadgadiyah. And he says, they say that because Gidi numerically equals 17. Gimal Dalid Yud. And Yosef was 17 when they sold him. So Hadgadiyah, the Zabin Abba, Betre Zuzeh, they sold our father, Betre Zuzeh, for however much money, Hadgadiyah. But he says, if that's the case, why do we say Hadgadiyah twice? Hadgadiyah, Hadgadiyah. If it's Yosef, it should say Hadgadiyah, the Zabin Abba. Why did it say it twice? So the Gaon has a different mahalach. The mahalach of the Gaon is as follows. He says that if you remember in last week's parasha, Yaakov Abinu is summoned by his mother, Rivka Imenu, alayhi shalom. Rivka is aware that the blessings are now going to be given to Esav unless Yaakov goes in and gets the blessings himself. So what does Rivka tell Yaakov? Kach lecha shnei gedaye izim. Go take two goats and go prepare them for your father. One for Korban Pesach and one for Korban Chagigah. And don't think that that's stealing anything, because in that same parasha we read, in Toledot actually, that when Esav came back from the field and he was hungry and he was tired, Yaakov Abinu bought the Bechorah from Esav. He bought it. He owned the paper. So he's not stealing anything. And what did he pay for it? Everybody says he bought it for a bowl of lentil soup. That's a mistake. The Pasuk says, Lechem unzid adashim. The soup came with bread oil, with croutons. If I was Esav, I would say, excuse me, waiter, I didn't order any bread over here. I ordered soup. Take back the bread. I don't want to be charged for the bread. He asked for lentil soup and he gives him lechem. So the Mefarshim say, Yaakov's so smart. The halacha says, you sell something under duress. So Esav can come to the Beit Din the next day and say, I was starving. I was seeing stars. I couldn't see straight. The guy held me hostage. They'll say, hey, that you're right, that's ona'ah, you can't, sir. So Yaakov Abinu says, first eat the bread. Now I want to sell you the Bechorah on a full stomach. Now you ate the bread, now you can't claim, oh, I was hungry, I was on the direct. Now you ate lechem. You still want the lentil soup? You still want the hadas? Understand, it was a trick of Yaakov to stop the claim. So therefore, Hakam Gaon Mevilna learns, Hadgadiyah, Hadgadiyah. That's the two Gidaye Izim that Yaakov brought to his father. And you know why it's not tricking? the Zabin Abba, because our father Yaakov bought it with Rezuzeh, with Lechem and Zid Adashim. That's the way he learns the Ad Gadya. So that's, and he goes on to a whole mahalach of learning the Ad Gadya in that episode. Now, I have a hard time remembering the order of the Haggadah. David, you know the Haggadah Bahad? So, if I'm not mistaken, Tommy, you remind me of how it goes, the thing. I think the next part says, Fe'ata Shunra. No. Fe'ata Shunra Ve'acha Legadia. The Shunra came and ate the Gadia. It's the cat. So the Gaon says, Biyadua, he has proofs for this, that cats are very jealous animals. They're jealous, they have kin'ah, they have that weakness. The Shunras, the brothers. But the brothers saw that Yaakov gets all the blessings. And who does Yaakov give the blessings to that he got? To Yosef. Yosef gets, Ele toledot Yaakov, Yosef. They see that all the advantages that whatever Yaakov got from his father, he's giving over to Yosef. So the Atashunra, the brothers came in this week's parasha, the Ika Legadia. And they hit the Legadia. What do you think? That acrimony over there caused Galut Mitzrayim. And as a result, we went to Mitzrayim. And Paro would come along and persecute the Jewish people. Says the Gaon, Paro's the dog. Ve'ata kalba, that's Paro. Ve'ika leshunra. And he hit the brothers. See how it's working? The Caleb is Paro. Caleb says, well, you want to have jealousy? You want to have sinat hinam? I'll fix the sinat hinam. You're not going to have time for sinat hinam. You're not going to have time to hate each other. You're not going to have time to do anything but work. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu with his famous stick and he does the makot. Ve'ata hutra, came the stick. Ve'ika lekalba. The stick is the mateh of Moshe. And the mateh of Moshe, understand what's going on over here? Says the Gaon that stick of Moshe has a whole history. Adam Rishon had that stick, and that stick was given over to Noah. And then Noah gave the stick to Yaakov Abinu. That's Kibim Makli Avalti Yeteyarden Hazeh. That's the stick. And that whole, history of where that stick has been from the beginning of time. And then it says, after that, they took that stick and they put it in the Beit HaMikdash. In the temple. Came the Nebuchadnezzar and he destroyed the first temple with the stick. Ve'atanura ve'saraf lechutra. The fire came. That's the fire of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, and it burnt the stick that was placed in the temple. Ve'atanura. Now the Jewish people don't have a Beit HaMikdash, the Gaon says. And now we're in Babel. We didn't have a zichuyot. We needed a zichut. Shtabach HaBoreh. What was produced in Babel during that time? The Talmud Bavli. That's when the rabbis put down the Talmud Bavli in Babel. And that was our compensation that put out the anger of God from the destruction. Now the Torah is compared to what, Rabotai? The water. Ve'atamaya ve'kabalenura. The water. Ma'en mayim ela Torah of Talmud Babli. That put out the fire of the temple. And therefore the second temple would be able to be rebuilt. Ve'atamaya. And now what happens? And now what happens is, who's after the Maya? The Torah. The shore. Now we have a second Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is built. God's anger is subsided. It was only 70 years, the first Galut. Ve'ata Torah. Tor, not Torah. Tor. Tor is a shore in Aramaic.
Torah, bull.
A bull. Shore. Who's the shore? Esav. The Zohar HaKadosh says the Gaon, that Esav is called Shor Deklipa. Yosef HaSadik is called Bechor Shoro Hadarlo. And the Shor on the negative side is Esav. The two Shors. The axing match. Shor Shenaga Adavero. That's Yosef is a Shor, like it says, Bechor Shoro Hadarlo, and Esav is the Shor Deklipa. Ve'ata Torah, that's Esav, that's Galutu in, ve'kabale maya, and he came along, and he, ve'shata de maya, he drank the waters, which means the anger of God came back, that zechut of the maya didn't stand for us, and he destroyed the second temple. And then what does it say? Ve'ata shohet, came the shohet. Who's the shohet? The Gemara says, that there's going to be two Mashiachs. Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Came the Shohet v'shahat le Torah. That's Mashiach ben Yosef. Yosef Zechut is going to be the one that Shohet the Shor. Because en Esav nofel ela bebnei banav shel Yosef. So the Shohet is the inyan of Yosef HaSadiq, Mashiach ben Yosef. However, we know that we pray every day in the Amidah that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to get killed by a guy called Armilos. So the next time you hear on Fox News the word Armilos, oh, that's the guy. We know his name already. So that's why it says, Ve'atam malach ha-mavet v'shahat ha-shuhet. The malach ha-mavet is Armilos that's going to kill Mashiach ben Yosef. Ta Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is God, when he's going to reveal Mashiach ben David, Veshahat Malach HaMavet, is going to kill Armilos, and then Had Gadya, the Zabin Ababet Ezuzeh, and then Shir HaShirim, and everybody goes home. But the point is, that you see the progression. All this started because the Shunra got jealous of the Gedi, says the Gaon. Cat, his eyes popped out of his sockets when he saw a few extra pieces of milat shnei shela'im betrezuzeh, but he bought it for trezuzeh Yaakov, but he gave it to Yosef, and the shunra couldn't control himself, and the kalba came and punished. The kalba only came because the shunra couldn't keep his eyes to himself, and vehikal the shunra, and then everything goes from there. So that's a big musar. That's the key. The key is the sirat hinam amongst Klal Yisrael. It's not a small thing. I've told you the mashal that the Sefarim say. Sefarim say that the blacksmith, he had his store next to the goldsmith. Blacksmith every day has his hammer. He bangs on the anvil. And it makes a loud noise. The goldsmith has his hammer also. And he bangs on the gold. It makes a very dull sound. So the gold hammer, the gold, went to the iron anvil and said, why when you get hit you make such a loud noise? And when I get hit, I don't make such a loud noise. The anvil said, you're gold. You're getting hit by an iron hammer. It's not related to you. I'm iron and I'm getting hit by an iron hammer. I'm getting hit by my brother. When you get hit by your brother, you cry louder. You're getting hit by a stranger. It doesn't hurt you so much. So the sound that you make is not as loud. And the Musar, of course, is that Jewish people could withstand the anti-Semitism from without. That, okay, it's almost expected. Okay, so you walk down the street, the guy curses you out. Okay, that, okay, so, that's expected almost. That's from the outside. The Esav Sonei Yaakov, you can survive, but the Yaakov Sonei Yaakov, when you're getting hit by your brother, that already is, that the pain is much more severe. According to the Rabbi Dessler, that's the tikkun why God put us in a society that hates us. Because that's the tikkun of hatred. It's not a coincidence. People, so the Anti-Defamation League, they're trying to solve anti-Semitism. So what do they do all day long? Abe Foxman and all those subdikim, they go around to all the golf clubs around America and they say, please, you got to let Jews in. Thinking that that's going to solve anti-Semitism by creating, you know, class action suits against all these golf clubs that don't let us into their clubhouse. And they come along and say, oh, look at the success rate we had. With all the success they had, they still hate us. And Rabbi Dessa says, because since the second Beit HaMikdash, our avon was sin'ah, God has to put us in a society that's filled with sin'ah, and to see if we're going to get drawn to that avon. Teshuvat HaMishkal. Today, the society is a society of hatred. And when Jews come along and say, we're not going to buy into that avon. Not like a bit of goyim, but like a bit ourselves. So he says, once you solve the problem of Yaakov, Sone Yaakov, then automatically Esav, Sone Yaakov will go away. And that's the midah of Yosef. And that's the midah that we're reading in the parasha. Now, let's go one step further. Big Hadushim was saying it about time, but that's, you know, sometimes that's why we accept it upon ourselves. When I came back from this trip, you want to know one good thing that happened on the trip? Is there was a fellow over there that inspired me to start learning Hafetz Chaim every day. Because he heard me give this talk, and he said, well, go look what the Hafetz Chaim says about Sinat Chinam. The Hafetz Chaim learns, you know, when the rabbis give speeches, they don't explain, what is Sinat Chinam? Baseless hatred, baseless, what is it? I want to know what it is. What were they doing? You don't hate anybody for no reason. No such thing as baseless hatred. What are they talking about? But the rabbis never explain it. Why was the temple destroyed? Sinat Chinam. What is it? Baseless hatred. Okay. You know what it is now? Hafetz Chaim says, you know what Sinat Chinam is? Lashon Hara. Finished. Now you know what it is. Finished. So the temple, according to the Hafetz Chaim, was destroyed because of Lashon Hara. Finished. Game over. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Hafetz Chaim said it. It's finished. Let it be set in stone. So he says, until you fix that avon of Lashon Hara. So there was a great rabbi called the Rabbi Yaakov Berav. He said, Ayered Misraima. We went down to Mitzrayim, which is Galut. Anus al pi adibur. He's the one who went down to Mitzrayim. Anus al pi adibur. Finish. And that's why the king of Egypt is called Paro, which is Otiyot Pera. And the tikkun of Pera is Pesach. Pesach, that the mouth should speak proper Lashon, proper language. So he went from Perah to Pesach. That's the whole tikkun, all in. So when Moshe Rabbeinu sees them squealing on each other, he says, Achen oda davar, Vayeshev Moshe Bemidyar. He says, he's still in Parashat Vayeshev. He's still digging out of Parashat Vayeshev. The tire got stuck in the mud in Parashat Vayeshev. You didn't recover from that avon, Anus al pi adibur. That being said, the whole tikkun of Pesach, interesting, the main mitzvah is what? The Haggadah. The Haggadah is also tikkun adibur. Magid. What are you being Magid now? Devarei Torah, Hadushim. It's all in the speech. That's all our troubles. Like one of the rabbis said, Lefum Sa'ara Agra. You always learned Lefum Saragna according to the pain, so the gain. In Aramaic, the way you say the word peh is pum. So the Mishnah is saying, Lefum, according to the mouth, Sa'ara Agra. Either all the troubles come from the pum or all the reward. All reward and punishment is from one place. Lefum. Lefum, Sa'ara Agra. That's where all the troubles are. Based on this, if you remember, the first catastrophe, the world catastrophe, was in the times of Noah, when the great flood came and destroyed the world. Now, of course, you have those guys still running around saying that the flood never happened, and it was only local flooding, and it was, you know, some backup in the sewer system and some nonsense. So, of course, these people... Yeah, they, you know, say Gilgamesh. You know, it's a famous fable that... The Shaim. Anyway, we believe that the Mabul happened exactly as the Torah said, without any, deviations. These are all, you know, newfangled guys. They can't wait. They learned, you know, what happened with these guys? They went to a class and they heard a word, allegory. That's a nice, sophisticated word. Yeah, but, no, we use the word exactly, because we're bourgeoisie. But they're sophisticated, you know. They can't use the word example, because that's why guys like me and you, guys who wear jeans, use the word example. They come along and say, it's allegorical. Don't be a wise guy. Don't be a wise guy with that allegory. So they can't wait to use that allegory, the A word, the allegorical word, okay? Guess what? They're also allegorical. They're also one big mashal. That's going to find out when they get to Gainam. They're going to find that their whole life was one big allegory. Coming along to teach the kids that there was no Mabul, and they found a rabbi, of course, the rabbi of the day. You know, they searched, hey, we have the rabbi from Tangier. He said it in his book in a footnote. Like I said, it's the flavor of the day. You know, they find the rabbi to hang their dirty laundry on. Every time they have another, you know, rotten apple, they find some rabbi that was excommunicated for saying it during when he said it. And they hang their dirty laundry on.
He's
okay, that's why. Anyway, I told you, one time there was a guy, he would go to, he would love to gamble, he would smoke, and he would drink. So they told him, what are you gambling? He said, hey, when I was in yeshiva, I had a rabbi that used to like to gamble in the dreidel on the Hanukkah, so I learned that from him. He said, what are you drinking? So I had a rabbi on Purim, he used to get drunk. And smoking. I had a Rosh Hashiva. He was so nervous in the shul, he used to smoke cigarettes. So he learned the bed from every single rabbi. He became a smoker from the Rosh Hashiva. He became a drinker from the rabbi. He gave another guy. But he didn't learn anything good from them. He learned all their bad traits over there. And he became a delinquent. It's the same thing over here. You know, they found one thing that a rabbi said that's a little, you know, controversial. Can they jump on that? And they take that as the... Anyway, I saw the Mekubalim bring down by the Mabul. The Mekubalim say that what was the dimensions of the Teva? So it says it was 300 long, right? Shalosh me'ot amma orech ha-teva. Yeah, maybe a foot and a half. But my point is shalosh me'ot, 300. And then you had Ushloshim Amma Komata. It was 30 high. V'hamishim Amma Ruchba. So the Teva basically was 300 by 30 by 50.
How many square feet? You're
gonna rent it. No, you could figure it out. 300 times 50 times 30. But listen to the point. Says the Mekubalim that the dimensions of the Teva is coming to tell you one of the underlying reasons why it happened. If you take 30, that's a lamed. And if you take 300, that's a sheen. And if you take 50, that's a nun. That spells Lashon. He says there had to be issues in the Lashon over there. If the Lashon is pagum, so then already it's impossible to, the world cannot exist. The world ultimately is destroyed from the tongue. When the tongue is used for the wrong things, and he explains it why, the Hafetz Chaim. He explains it very simply why. You don't got to be a Kabbalist to understand what I'm saying now. He says, because where do we get our salvation? From praying and learning. He says, but if the vessel that you're using to pray and learn is broken because it's speaking Lashon Hara, so he says, you're serving your prayers to God on a dirty plate. Imagine you go to somebody, you make them filet mignon with beautiful vegetables and a salad, and you give it to them on a dirty plate. Ech, he can't eat it. Look how delicious it is. But you didn't clean the plate. He's when the mouth is filled with lashon hara, the tefillot are coming up with the machta of that you didn't clean the plate. So therefore, your prayers are not going to get answered. That's lashon. So that's what started over here. Vayaveh Yosef et dibatam ra'ah. He started. He brought dibatam ra'ah l'avihem. He spoke lashon hara on the brothers. The brothers reacted by kanubo. All starts anus al pi adibur. Everything starts with the inyan of the paro of the pera. And that's why, by the way, there's no coincidence. Moshe Rabbeinu, that's going to be the Goalan Shel Yisrael. The first thing that happens to him, his tongue gets burnt. That tongue getting burnt is Borei Olam saying, that's the tikkun you have to make, Hag'alah on the tongue, not on the Passover pots. Hag'alah on the tongue. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're representing Klal Yisrael, this is the item. The tikkun is on the is on the peh. Now watch what happens. There was a rabbi from Chernobyl, the Chernobyl Rebbe. Chernobyl, a Russian,
that's
no?
That's where the nuclear reactor.
Correct. So he lived before that. He was. Is that the Me'or Enayim? Me'or Enayim is it Chernobyl? So he said, amazing thing. He said, when you have the letter Sheen and Seen are very similar. It's just where you put the dot. If the dot's on the right side, so it's a sheen. If the dot's on the left side, it's a seen. So he said that the whole tikkun that we came here to fix is to move the sheen dot from a seen to a sheen. Once we can just move, and how easy is it to move that dot? Just move it 1 inch, not even a centimeter. The goal is to turn a scene into a sheen. So they asked the great Rebbe, we'll do it. Right into the I moved it. He said, no. He says, there's a word in Hebrew that means to have conversation. And that word is to be masiyah. Masiyah is to converse. So he says that once we make the tikkun of masiyah, Siyah siftotenu, then we move the scene and Masiyah becomes Mashiach. But it all is in the Masiyah. It starts in the Masiyah. And that's the whole tikkun of life, to make the Masiyah into Mashiach. But until we learn that, you know, but again, in our generation, no. Is it Yashan? We're still working, we're still hung up on that, you know, we're still hung up on the important things. You know, so the guy's in the rest in the store, and he says, "Oh, he's not makpid." So on lashon hara, you just shame for the guy that he's not makpid. So that you got him. Lashon hara, you don't care about. Oh, he's not makpid. So therefore, but it's true. But lashon hara is even something true. So you shame for the guy lashon hara. But the main thing is that you're careful on. Now I'm not saying that you should be careful on lashon hara and not be careful on yashan, but be careful on both. That's what I'm saying. You can walk and chew gum, but when all of a sudden the rituals become so important, and then the ben adam lahavero that you forget. Now the Hafetz Chaim, why do we love the Hafetz Chaim? Because he was perfect in everything. He was careful in his lashon, and he wrote the Mishnah Berurah. The halakha was impeccable. But his speech was impeccable also. But it's interesting. The book that he says will bring us to Mashiach is not the Mishnah Berurah. He says the book that will bring us to Mashiach is the Hafetz Chaim. He doesn't say, read Mishnah Berurah and you bring Mashiach. It's all in the Hafetz Chaim. Which is, the guy can be total Ama'aris in the Mishnah Berurah, but he has Sheminat HaLashon. That much he has already, he's careful on. Listen, he quotes the Gemara that says, V'lashon hara keneged kulam. That the three sins is on one side, and so all that lashon hara that the goyim speak against us, or motzi shem ra, you always have to take their avon and say, if God is putting us under this society that has this avon, that means that we have this avon. That means it's a mirror. The sin'ah of the goyim means that we have sin'ah amongst ourselves. And in the previous galuyot, they suffered from gilu arayot, for example. So they knew that there's gilu arayot by them, that we have to fix gilu arayot. But that's the way Rabbi Dessler understands it. So parashat Vayeshev, although the parasha is an old parasha, but it has very, very significant ramifications even for today. So if everybody accepts upon themselves to be part of that group of Hafetz Chaim, it's only 10 minutes a day. And we send it out. Jaime sends it out.
6:35?
Yeah, we learn it every morning at 6:35 to 6:45, no more, no less. And Jaime sends it out, if you're not in the shul, to listen to it. It's a life changer. The Hafetz Chaim says that even if you don't know every law, it'll turn you from a ba'al lashon hara to somebody that speaks lashon hara. He said, it's the ba'al lashon hara that loses all his olam haba. He says, what the ba'al lashon hara means, he don't care. He just, this book at least will take you out of that category. You're not going to be a ba'al lashon hara anymore. At least you're going to be a little concerned to watch your mouth. You might not get it perfect, he says, but at least it'll be taking you out of that category that Chas v'Shalom causes all the trouble. So Yiratzon, we should be zocheh that we should make the tikkun of Yosef, and that's why it says, "V'haya bet Yaakov le'esh." So the Mefarshim say, "What does it mean, bet Yaakov esh?" Esh is rashi tevot. Esh is rashi tevot. Yes. Bet Yaakov. Oh, Esav is Kash. Kash is Rashi Tevot Kinah Sinah, because Esav only came along as a result of Vaykanubo Ehav, Avayisneubo, and the Esh is Rashi Tevot Ahava and Shalom, and therefore when there's Ahava and Shalom, Bet Yaakov Esh. That gets rid of the cash, the kin'ah, the sin'ah of Esau. Baruch Adonai. Amen. 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 Amen.